When I was 20 years old, I went to a psychic in lieu of going to a therapist. The decision was made in a semi-desperate strait, the way I assume most people find themselves at an ostensible mystic's door. Half believing, half skeptical, morbidly curious, and almost always looking for some elusive answer that proved absent elsewhere. I had worn down the alternative path already, tried on different therapists like Goldilocks, never finding one that fit just right. In the last few years, I sat before men and women, young and old, austere and analytical, flowery and bohemian. They always meant well, but it was as if they could taste my hunger in the air, my desperation to be pardoned and validated, my carnal need for an excuse vibrating between us. I sometimes wondered if they could see into my very brain. Could they tell that my nerves were all bundled and splintered, like necklaces tangled in the bottom of a drawer? I knew well the interior of a therapist's office. I knew the scratchy couches and the patient stares. I once sat before my sister's old therapist, sweated nervously as we both cried. Stood in the basement of a beach home with my mom's therapist, the shell-lined driveway slightly visible above me like a thin layer of frosting. Everything in the world upside down. I knew the process by now, and I could predict the same well-intentioned half-truth I was always told. It's not your fault. It was a phrase therapists liked to return to in the pauses and gentle stutters that lingered in the stale air. It's not your fault. The words, once so welcome, were memorized, rehearsed, stuck in my mind like that hit song on the radio that started out catchy but has now turned torturous. A ceaseless loop, resurfacing late at night when you're an inch from sleep. Hearing this was never enough, because the clinicians only knew what I told them. The omissions I made, backtracks. There was only one person who could truly exonerate me, and she was unreachable. When I stripped my reasoning for going to the psychic that day, this is the essence at its core. This was the reassurance I sought. Crystal rocks were scattered on the window shelves. Geodes reflected the neon purple lights of the storefront sign. A Buddha sculpture sat in the corner, its arms folded and its eyes closed. There were sun gods, moon gods, a diagram of the Hindu concept of chakras. The seven colors illuminated from the head of the body down to the base of the spine. A gradient scale from lavender to blue, green, yellow, and finally red. A sweet, suffocating incense spread from a series of burning candles. It made the collar around my neck feel tight and restricting. I had dragged my friend Devin here with me. For her, I assumed the outing was silly. A fun, spontaneous Sunday break from the mundane obligations of student life. She wanted to know if the guy she was seeing was her soulmate. She wondered if she was moving toward the right career path. For me, the visit represented something darker, more desperate, more intense. "I can only take one of you right now. Who wants to go?" the psychic asked. Suddenly panicked, I shot Devin a look that meant to say, "You go." The woman wasn't the Hollywood stereotype I was expecting. She sounded more like a real housewife of New Jersey, nasal and thick. Her hair was straight and glossy, and her smooth, tanned face was covered by what seemed to be a fresh application of makeup. On her website, she was described as a natural-born, third-generation psychic. Devin and I stood in momentary paralysis. I watched her blonde head swivel in confusion. We backed away slightly, as if to retreat toward the exit. My hands were clammy and slick with nerves. This was a bad idea.